You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, as we talked about yesterday on Thursday's episode, we're going to be continuing the conversation of what Mike Conley should be able, or what you should be able to get for Mike Conley in a trade, the value of Mike Conley. We'll continue that conversation with Joe Mullenix from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. But if you've not already subscribed to the podcast, please do so in Apple iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. If you have not already done so, please download the new podcast, the new podcast app, Himalaya. And it's super easy, super intuitive, and you can subscribe to the podcast straight through that app, the Himalaya podcast app. Make sure you do that. It's a great sponsor of this show. But let's talk about Mike Conley a little bit more. Joe Mullenix, I appreciate you coming on again and making it two episodes in a row. I don't think we've done that all year.
I'm honored. If anything, this is a testament to, you know, my standing amongst Locked On Grizzlies guests. You know, maybe asking. I'll enter the Hall of Fame one day.
They keep asking. We keep bringing them back. we talked about yesterday about the trade with the Pacers and what we thought of, you know, Sabonis maybe getting that deal. Your part two of a series, again, part three should be out. If you're already listening to this episode, as it's coming out Friday, we're recording on Thursday night. But if you're already listening to this episode, it might already be out. Is that right? Part three?
It'll be out sometime midday on Friday. Okay. I have these goals of having shorter articles. And as you know, Mark, knowing me through the years, I start out with a goal of 700 words and it becomes 1400 pretty quickly. So I'm shooting for midday Friday. So it's possible if you're listening to this, it'll be out. If you're listening to it after probably noon or so Central Time on Friday, it almost certainly will be out by then.
So it's out. Even if it's not out, when it's out, go check it out, GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Again, we've already talked about part one. We'll be talking about part two today. And then part three, we'll be focusing on some more of the Western Conference teams that might be looking to get Mike Conley. But in part two, you talked about some teams that, I guess you'd call them pretenders. You had the first up was the New York Knicks. And this trade involved Frank, I can't remember how you say his last name. Frank Ntilikina. That is, I had it pulled up before the episode because I wanted to get it right and I ended up getting it wrong. Anyway, either way, Frank Ntilikina, second round pick in 2019 and a 2020 first round pick, top eight protected, and then unprotected the next year. Just off the top, it does not feel like enough, I think, for me, for Mike Conley.
Well, I think that what people will see, and I'll have a similar theme in part three with the Lakers, teams like the Lakers, the Knicks, and anybody who thinks they have a market or a team that is viable and competitive and other guys are going to want to go there, they're not going to be willing to give up as much for Mike Conley because they are going to see Mike Conley for all the flaws that he has, being 31 years old, being an undersized point guard, having such a large last 2 years of his contract. And they're going to say that is opportunity lost because they're not able to get a Kyrie Irving. They're not able to get a Klay Thompson, you know, all these other sexier names, probably better players. They're missing out on them to get Mike Conley. So in the case of this Knicks trade, it's probably a plan B or even a plan C for them. If after they get Kevin Durant, which is widely assumed at this point, they're not able to add anybody else really in free agency. So they want to have somebody alongside KD that can be productive and play in that point guard role. And they don't want to give up a ton for it because of that. Now, Memphis, in fairness to them, this would also probably be kind of a plan B or C for them too, because you're right. I think of all the deals that I've crafted so far, that one's probably the least attractive to the Grizzlies because Frank, for all of his rawness, and he is only, I think, 21 years old, or he just turned 21, extremely raw, athletic point guard, he kind of sucks. I mean, he's not very
he's not good
at NBA basketball right now. And I think that if you watch the games, you can kind of see that clearly. He seems lost still at times. That doesn't mean that he can't improve. But it does mean that he, if you have to pick between him and say Dennis Smith Jr., for example, Memphians would probably want Dennis Smith Jr. in that type of deal. But this is a place, again, the Knicks are saying, if we're going to lose out on the opportunity to bring in free agents the next two summers to play alongside KD, we don't want to completely destroy whatever we got back in that Porzingis trade. So it's a deal that makes a lot of sense for the Knicks if it is their plan B or plan C. I think it makes sense for Memphis in that it gets them that first-round pick for Mike that they've wanted, that they've coveted, and it should convey in 2020 because, again, a Durant, Conley, assuming they get a top four pick, you know, it could be RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson, obviously. You know, even if they don't bring in another guy to play alongside those two, that's probably a playoff team in the East. So I think that it would be a good fit. Conley would fit next to Durant for the same reason he'd fit next to LeBron in terms of being a low-maintenance star that can score in a variety of ways. And the Knicks would be interested in that type of deal because they're not really sacrificing anything too long-term. If things go the way that they should, at least in the eyes of New York, that first-round pick in 2020 won't be very high. So if you're a Memphis fan and you didn't like that trade, I get it. That's probably the biggest, toughest sell if you are the Grizzlies in terms of the ones that I've come up with so far. But at the same time, you're getting long-term value in terms of a raw prospect. You're definitely looking at a long-term rebuild if you do a type of trade like that. So of all the ones that I've crafted so far, that one's probably the biggest reach on the Memphis side of things. But, you know, when you run a Grizzlies blog, everybody kind of assumes that you're going to be biased towards the Grizzlies.
Sure.
I try to side on the idea that Memphis maybe would be losing almost every deal that I suggest, give or take a team that's pretty desperate, like the next one we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I guess in theory, once you take Frank and he is basically, like you said, not very good at basketball right now. It's a second round pick and then a first rounder that is not going to be very good, like you mentioned. You wrap all that up, and I think, you know, you look at that and you're basically getting a low first rounder for Mike, depending on what this new front office has done with second rounders. Obviously, the previous regime has not been good, but I think you could probably extract more value from Mike. I think he's worth more than that. I think you can probably extract more value from a different team. And I think that would be – I think the Knicks would win that trade all day long. And I think they would – I think the Knicks would do that trade all day long because, like you mentioned, they have Dennis Smith Jr. Now, if I think you replace – you put Dennis Smith Jr. in there, that's a totally different – I think that's a totally different trade with a prospect that – has shown very much flashes of being very, very good. You think the Knicks would balk if you just said, we got to have Dennis Smith Jr.? You think that that's something they would definitely say, no way, you can't have him?
I don't think they'd say no way. You'd probably have to change the protections. I think that the Knicks would want to ensure that they have a lottery pick if something does go wrong, Conley gets hurt, Durant gets hurt, something like that. Again, we're assuming that Kevin Durant's going to go to New York. I think most folks that are in the know that are far smarter than me are assuming that that's probably going to happen. So I'll do the same, at least for the point of this exercise. If you're looking at the process of getting a Conley into New York and you want to – I guess it comes down to what you value. If you want a less protected pick, you probably get the lesser player. If you want a better player in the case of Smith Jr., it probably limits the value of that first round pick in terms of the protections that it's going to have. You know, maybe it becomes something like a lottery protected 2020, top 10 protected 2021. And then if it doesn't convey in 2021, it becomes two second rounders or something like that.
Right.
And now you're talking about getting two second round picks from Mike Conley. Imagine all the hate and vitriol that will come from that. But you are getting, in theory, the better prospect in Dennis Smith Jr. So it's a lot of give and take in terms of what you value and what you're hoping to get out of the Conley experience. I think it's going to be more of a long-term rebuild because of Jaren's age, Jaren Jackson Jr. If you're going to be the alpha and the omega of an organization, chances are it's probably going to take you some time to get your feet under you, especially when you're young. So I'd be okay with Frank. I understand
sure. If
folks don't like that trade. I definitely think it's the worst of the four that I've constructed so far, and then even including the trades for the part three piece on Friday. It's probably the weakest for Memphis, but at the same time, you know, you got to keep in mind all the negative check marks that are going to go against Conley in terms of trade value. You're probably not getting anything beyond, again, like the Pistons trade is probably the very best that Memphis can hope for that we're about to talk about here in a minute.
Hey, you mentioned that the Pistons, we are about to talk about that. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk about the Pistons trade that you came up with on the other side. Stick with us and you'll hear what we have, what Joe has in store for the Memphis and Detroit Pistons. Welcome back to the show. Talking with site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullenix, talking about his four-part series. I think it's four, maybe five. Who knows?
Right.
It's open-ended.
It's a long off-season. It might be an infinity gauntlet kind of thing. It might be a 22-part series.
That's okay.
To the end game of trading with the Washington Wizards for John Wall or something.
That's okay. But again, part one and part two are already out at grizzlybearblues.com. Part three coming out. Hopefully by the time you listen to this, it will already be out. But this deal with the Detroit Pistons, Reggie Jackson, John Lewis, Langston Galloway, their 2019 first round pick, which is the 15th pick, and a 2020 first round pick, protected and unprotected in 2021. And then Detroit would get Mike Conley and a second rounder. Correct. And this is seeming like a pretty much what they had. I think it was rumored was around Reggie Jackson before the trade deadline. Why does Memphis do this deal? I mean, because Reggie Jackson is all right. I mean, John Lewis is not very good at Galloway. There's just not a lot of good stuff here besides the picks, really. I guess. I mean, I don't necessarily Reggie Jackson's a young prospect that you kind of want, but why does Memphis do it?
Because of space. I think that it creates a lot of space in a variety of ways. It gives you multiple first round picks. I think Detroit is the opposite of New York. The Pistons are kind of stuck. You know, they have the Blake Griffin contract, obviously Andre Drummond. You know, so much of their cap is already eaten up in other players that they're looking at having to acquire somebody via trade simply because they can't afford to be major players in free agency. And Conley, aside from Anthony Davis, of course, is probably going to be the most coveted guy that can be realistically had via trade. And Detroit wants to compete. You know, Detroit just got embarrassed by the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs. Yeah, Detroit made the playoffs, but they didn't really look like they belonged. They want to improve. They want to compete and maximize this Blake Griffin window. And I think Mike Conley helps them do that. So that's why they're willing to give up the picks there and all of the expiring contracts that make up Jackson, Galloway, and Lewis. Now, you mentioned how Reggie Jackson, you know, there once upon a time, Reggie Jackson and Mike Conley were kind of viewed as comparable. I think we're definitely past that point, and Conley is clearly the superior player. But at the same time, if you bring in a Reggie Jackson, you bring in a John Lewis, you bring in a Langston Galloway, it's not about these are guys that are going to help me win now. It's about the fact that every single one of their contracts is expiring. You know who else's contract expires? Chandler Parsons. And you know who else's contract could theoretically expire if you don't re-sign after the player option? Jonas Valanciunas. So much money would come off of the books for Memphis that they would be looking at roughly $90 million coming off of their salary cap. Now, that doesn't mean that they'd have $90 million in cap space because they obviously have Jaren Jackson Jr., Kyle Anderson.
Sure.
They have other guys that would still be under contract. But what it does mean is, depending on how they renounce cap hits and things like that, cap holds, they would have potentially room for not one but two restricted free agent max contract offers while still, because again, early bird rights and things like that, while still being able to re-sign Jonas Valanciunas, Bruno Caboclo, Ivan Rabb, and Dylan Brooks. So if you want to bring all of those guys back, and again, that's assuming DeLon Wright is back on the team as well, bring all those dudes back and you still have roughly $50 million that you could bring in a couple of guys on restricted free agent max contracts. You want to be a player for Ben Simmons? You want to go get Jaylen Brown, Malik Beasley, Jamal Murray? You know, there's all sorts of names in that restricted free agency class of 2020, Buddy Hield. You know, there's a lot of different types that if you wanted to put in an offer that has a player option here and a no trade clause there, and you want to really kind of put the feet of the team offering the qualifying offer to the fire and make them match, I think that Memphis has an opportunity to be a player in restricted free agency much more so than unrestricted free agency. And Kyle Anderson's a great example of that. You know, Kyle Anderson was signed by Memphis through the mid-level exception in restricted free agency. The Spurs decided that was a little too rich for their blood, and they didn't match. And now Memphis has a young player that they like, that they think is a part of their core group moving forward. So I think that Pistons deal is if Detroit is desperate. I do believe that they are desperate. How desperate would be interesting to see. But I do think it makes Detroit that much better immediately. It gives Memphis young players to build around, and it allows for that restricted free agency period of 2020 to really be a focus of theirs so that they can go out there and be players and try to bring in as many good players as possible through that method. Because unrestricted free agency, you're not going to compete with very many people. In restricted free agency, it's a much more level playing field depending on what type of contract you're willing to sign these young guys to.
Right. Would it be more beneficial for the Grizzlies to try to extract someone like a Luke Kennard or Kerry Thomas than to just say, okay, you know, in place of maybe the Reggie Jackson has to be in that deal because of the numbers. But in place of a John Lue or and likes of Gallagher, those type of things, would it be more beneficial to try to extract some type of young prospect to go along with the picks or Jackson, anything like that, as far versus just getting the, you know, getting expiring deals?
I mean, it obviously depends on the team and how you view those prospects. I'm not a huge Luke Kennard fan. I think he shoots the three well. He can score the ball in a few different ways, but I would rather have the pick and see if somebody falls and you have an opportunity to have team control. You know, whoever they hire to be their next head coach, they have to have an identity established. And one of the nice things about having draft picks is you can bring somebody in, and obviously the only NBA front office, the only NBA franchise that they will have ever worked for would be your organization. You can kind of help develop not just the physical side of things as a player, but also the mental side of being a professional, carrying yourself the way that a Memphis Grizzlies basketball player should, and really kind of rebuilding what exactly that means. So that doesn't mean that you can't bring in a young player like Kennard, who's obviously been in Detroit for his whole career early on here, and he can't integrate. Of course, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, there's countless examples, really, of guys that have done just that. But at the same time, it's just a nice thing to kind of think about a young guy coming up in your system, understanding what you're looking for on every aspect of the organization. He can kind of be a leader in that front office and on that team, on that roster, and still have the opportunity to kind of find his own place in the organization. So I'm really kind of interested to see how people value those picks. Because to me, once you make a pick, once whatever the pick Luke Kennard was is taken,
right,
it's like driving a new car off the lot. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like it immediately depreciates in value because it's no longer a potential filled pick. It is a player and a prospect with strengths and weaknesses, pros and cons. So I would rather have the picks because if you wanted to trade them, if you wanted to, you know, to utilize them in some way, shape, or form, you have that potential there, and I think that that is more valuable at this stage because it gives you the chance to put more and more young talent that hasn't necessarily been infiltrated by another NBA team. Obviously, that kind of contradicts my restricted free agency argument, but when it comes to the draft, I think that's different. I think that you want to have somebody in those early formative years of their NBA career in that city, and if you're going to re-sign them, then obviously there's value in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, draft picks are always – they're inherently more valuable as currency in the NBA than the actual pick, than the player, because people have this idea. And now, I view it the opposite. I view the prospect as a more valuable but I would say for most people, the pick, like you mentioned, is more of a currency because there's always this idea of what could be. You know, there's always an idea of what the player you pick could be. And so I think inherently people value those maybe too high, maybe I don't know, but I think that's always going to be a better currency for future deals, like you mentioned. Let's take another quick break. We'll continue this conversation with Joel Mullenix right after the break. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. We talked about part one. We talked about part two. Went through the trades of all the Eastern Conference. You're coming out with part three tomorrow or probably today if you're listening to this. Is there anything that you can give me as a preview trade-wise of what you're thinking?
Well, it actually kind of ties together nicely what we've been discussing on this episode.
All right.
I'll give you a bit of a preview of the Lakers trade because – the Lakers have been a rumored piece or a rumored fit for Conley all along, and I think that it makes sense too. But again, it comes down to what do you prefer? Do you prefer the sure. prospect who has better potential right now, or do you prefer draft picks? One potential option is the one that everybody has kind of floated, Lonzo Ball and the Lakers, you know, wherever they fall in the lottery, 11th, 12th, whatever, that pick for Mike Conley. And then the other option is Josh Hart and two future firsts, 2020 and 2021. Again, assuming Mike Conley goes to the Lakers, those will both probably be outside of the lottery selections. But Josh Hart, two future firsts with protections and all that stuff for Mike Conley. And it comes down to, do you view Lonzo Ball as a better prospect moving forward than Josh Hart? I think most people do in terms of age, in terms of raw physical ability. Josh Hart has obviously had a more productive career to this point because he hasn't been as injured. He's had good roles kind of fitting into what the Lakers wanted him to do. And bringing him into Memphis, I think it would be a cleaner fit than, say, Lonzo Ball, who probably is going to be bringing some baggage with him, despite the fact that he's probably the better player. So I think the Lakers obviously are interested in moving on from at least one of those guys, if not more. You have the Anthony Davis trade possibility being out there as well. And it's like the Knicks. You know, this is a case where the Lakers won't be as desperate to do it as maybe the Pistons would be. But I do think the Lakers will be more desperate than the Knicks because, you know, Kevin Durant will be going to New York to be the king of New York. It's not quite the same as LeBron wanting to have his cake and eat it too. I think KD will be willing to go to New York, compete as best he can. He's confident in his ability to bring talent to him, and he'll be a little bit more even keel, at least at first, than LeBron James was when he realized that he went to a bad basketball team. And while they were improved with LeBron on the court, they still weren't all that good, or at least in terms of comparing them to, say, the Warriors or the Rockets or somebody along those lines. So in terms of a preview, I'm going to focus on the Lakers, that idea of picks versus current prospect, what's more valuable. I think I would probably go with Ball and the first-round pick simply because I think Lonzo Ball is better than he gets credit for. But at the same time, you have to be able to score the basketball, especially from the point. In the modern NBA, while Lonzo is a pretty good defender, pretty good facilitator, he still hasn't shown the capacity to score, whereas Josh Hart has. So it's going to be an interesting kind of internal debate between what type of package would make the most sense on both sides for the Grizzlies and the Lakers.
Yeah, see, I think that Lonzo Ball gets too much credit. I would take that Josh Hart deal in a heartbeat, just because I don't think Lonzo Ball is very good. Like you mentioned, if you're a point guard in this NBA, you got to be able to shoot. He will never be able to shoot the basketball. Never. I'm a firm believer in mechanics just don't change. You can't at this stage in anybody's career, the muscle memory has been going for so long that it's very, very hard to change a shot. And his is so broken that I just don't think you can change it. Now you have to become somebody so different, like a Ben Simmons, who literally can't shoot, but he does a lot of things different and better than Lonzo Ball does. If he wants to be good, he has to go that route. So I think he'll be a good player, but I don't think he'll ever be a star or just above off the charts kind of player. So I would take that Josh Hart deal though. That's something I would be very interested in because I like Josh Hart. I think he's a good player, but either way, I think that again, there is value in both of those. I think much better than maybe some of the other ones we've talked about. I think that Josh Hart and two first round picks would be very good for the Grizzlies. And I think that Mike Conley would be great on the Lakers team just because I think he'd fit really, really, really well alongside LeBron. So Joe, I appreciate it, man. We'll I appreciate you coming on and talking about all these trades that you've come up with. Again, if you haven't already seen the articles that we're talking about, if you haven't already read them, please go to grizzlybearboos.com, read those, study up. Part three should be out when you're listening to this, and then part four will come out soon. So just keep following along, grizzlybearboos.com. Got a lot of great, great stuff coming out soon. Joe, I appreciate it, man.
Mark, appreciate you as always, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. We'll do it again soon.